Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we talk about the upcoming series from Vince Gilligan, the new single from Coldplay's upcoming album, how New York is bringing the comics back to Comic-Con, and we recap the best moments from the 86th annual Oscars. Joining me on this week's episode is the Austrian death machine himself, Ryan DeMarco.
Put that cookie down now!
And of course, the Italian stallion, Lucas Jones.
Before we get into any of our news for this week, Lucas, what have you brought us?
Well, Al, we were perusing the craft beer section at Joe Canal's, and we came across a lonely bottle on the bottom shelf. A brown and green label could only mean one thing, however. It was a mint chocolate stout. Shipyard Brewing Company's mint chocolate stout, to be more precise. It comes in at 9% alcohol by volume, and you're looking at something that has 53 IBUs and extremely dark color. It is a stout after all. We tasted some licorice, some mint, a little bit of coffee up front. The one thing that was interesting, and gentlemen, if you'll join me here, is take a sip, but breathe out through your nose. What are you tasting? What are you smelling? What are you experiencing?
Seeds.
Seeds, okay. Al?
I have to keep experiencing it.
I'm getting mint. Not sweet mint, like candy, but like the mint that you'd grow in a garden.
Yes.
You know, like mint that you'd go out and pick that still has that earthy smell and taste to it. That's the mint that I'm getting. And which I was surprised by, because normally when you think of chocolate mint, you think of like Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
That have that sweet mint characteristic. But this is totally earthy, which goes great with the subtle coffee notes that come up front as soon as you taste it. I think
if it was the other way around, it would be a little more like too artificial.
Exactly.
This way, it's like,
you know, you've
really
got
nice.
The mint is really most powerful as an aroma. So it has the coffee and then a little bit of chocolate. The body itself gives you a nice chocolate feel to it, and then the mint follows it afterwards.
I'm definitely tasting the oats right now.
You're getting oats?
I'm getting oats right now.
Al, anything else you're picking up on?
Like you said, initially you get that coffee kind of taste, but you really did hit it on the head. It smells like an Andes mint, honestly.
Okay.
The scent is exactly what you want in a mint chocolate stout. You get everything there. The mint, the chocolate, and of course the delicious and very heavy stout.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something you want to chug. This is something you want to, you know, enjoy, especially since it's a bomber bottle. I don't even want to share it between the two of you. Honestly, this is such a good beer.
Well, so it was released in November, and we are obviously picking it up in late February. So I don't know how available this still is, but if I were you, I'd go out and get it. It's not one of those beers where you're like, oh my God, that's such a crazy flavor. It's a really simple flavor that we all take for granted, but one that's really hard to translate into beer for some reason. A lot of the crazier flavors, like mint chocolate, we tried a peanut butter chocolate stout that we didn't quite care for.
Too artificial.
Right, too artificial. This is, and it even says it right on the bottle, it's an ale with natural flavors. No artificial, no chemicals. So it's actually fantastic. When I first tried it, I was a little underwhelmed. But as I'm drinking it, I'm realizing this is a really, really freaking good stout.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is something that becomes the highlight of anything. You don't want to drink anything after this because it's so good. It's such a solid beer. Too often we come up with these beers that are like crazy, crazy hops, crazy, crazy malt, you know, the blackest engine oil stout. This is just a really, really good stout.
Yes.
I couldn't agree more.
I couldn't agree with you more. This is a fantastic beer. Thank you for letting me steal it from you, whoever bought it, one of you.
Nice.
Upon receiving this great gift, I instantly smelt black licorice. I'm going to disagree with Al because he's an idiot. And then once I tilted my head back, drank a little bit of it, I got that subtle chocolate taste, which was a little... It was underwhelming at first because I was expecting a little bit more. But then you guys just went to the whole conversation about how it's just perfect. It's not artificial. It's just, it's actually better that way, because you also get the rush of the spearmen, and then later on you get the oats. So it's really just a nice like powerhouse of just different things coming at you. And it's really just, it's a wonderful beer to just sit back, relax, and just enjoy what you're tasting.
Yeah, that's the one thing we keep coming back to, is that it's almost perfectly balanced. You know, nothing's too heavy, nothing's too light. It's all there. Two technical notes, though, on this beer. You're going to want to try to enjoy it at 55 degrees Fahrenheit. I know most fridges are not set that cold or that warm, but give it your best shot. Additionally, this beer is best enjoyed in a porter glass or stout glass, something with a narrow top so that it concentrates all the aromas and you can get that full-bodied smell.
Thank you, Lucas, for another excellent review for a really awesome stout, and hopefully we can see more from Shipyard in the next couple weeks with this Pugsley Signature Series that you picked for us today. So there has to obviously be some more. Why couldn't you buy more?
Because there was only one left.
That's unfortunate.
It was the loneliest bottle.
All right.
While I gave it a home.
While I wallow in some sadness.
In our bellies.
We'll go into our first bit of pop culture news.
A brief but very cool thing just happened. Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad, he's got a new show coming out for CBS called Battle Creek. And they just picked the director for the pilot episode. So, Rye, for folks who have never heard of Battle Creek, don't read movie and TV blogs, give them a little update. What's it about?
Well, for the scarce amount of details we have about it, it revolves around two detectives, both from kind of different worldviews, who I guess kind of have to clean up the semi-mean streets of Battle Creek, Michigan. The show is called Battle Creek. The first season is going to be a 13-episode order, which will debut on CBS. And it comes from the Breaking Bad creator, Vince Gilligan, which, of course, most people know who that is because of how much the show was received while it was on its, I think, 5-season run. The first episode is going to be directed by none other than Bryan Singer, who, of course, helmed classics as X-Men, X-Men 2, and Usual Suspects back in the 90s. And I think that's an interesting. It's crazy how like all these big names are going to TV now. So it's like a thing now for like a big name director to kind of kick off the series, and
I think that's a nice boost for the show. It'll kind of get everyone's attention since he's doing all the X-Men movies now, mm-hmm. And of course Vince Gilligan. That's a name drawer right there. Attention drawer, rather. So I think that's a nice boast for the show, and a nice kind of jumping point. I'm excited to see what the show brings to the table.
Yeah, it's nothing new that a famous director is tapped to do a pilot. We've seen directors like Kevin Smith direct the pilot for Reaper. Mick G, who was also a producer of the show I'm about to mention, he directed the pilot for Chuck. And don't let that scare you. You should watch Chuck. And, of course, famously, Boardwalk Empire was directed by Martin Scorsese. So Bryan Singer is a great addition to do that pilot because, he's not unfamiliar with crime. I mean, his big-name movie was, of course, Usual Suspects, and it's one of the best crime films. So, and, of course, as a Breaking Bad fan, I'm extremely, extremely excited to see what Vince Gilligan has to follow up. I mean, we're already going to see his prequel series Better Call Saul, but now we're going to see something completely different, especially because he created with David Shore involved. Sure to be good. Luke, what do you think?
Well, I actually have a question for both you and Ryan. As someone who has never really watched Breaking Bad and has never seen The Usual Suspects, what kind of, every director, every producer has like their own stylistic tendencies. What kind of stuff should people be looking out for or looking forward to?
I'll take that one.
Well, for Bryan Singer, he has kind of like a really realistic approach. I mean, the one thing that he did that no one really likes is Superman Returns, and he really tried to stay true to Superman, kind of make a real sequel to the Christopher Reeve films. which in turn wasn't really that successful in the box office. But I mean, Usual Suspects, I mean, it's just that great mystery and that great, you know, so, you know, he had that, him and Vince Gilligan both share this way that they can build tension very well. And they both have that kind of realistic aspect. I mean, Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad was seriously just an epic over 5 seasons. And you really felt like you were kind of transported into this universe because there were so many like realistic aspects of it, you know, the cuts and the lack of music. Like, there was music in it, but they didn't rely on it to, you know, put you in the mood or, you know, that kind of stuff. So like how Walking Dead does it with their score, with Bear McCreadie's score, and, you know, Beth singing sometimes. So, you know, you can definitely sense both of them have that realistic style. And moving into TV news, a brief but very cool thing just happened. Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad, he's got a new... All right, moving on to a topic that doesn't get enough attention, we're going to be talking about comics. Lucas, Ryan, and I, we're all fans of comic books. You know, they're responsible for most of the movies that are coming out, and there's just some great stories. And last October, we went to our first ever Comic-Con in New York, the New York Comic-Con. It is the second largest comic convention in the country, right behind San Diego. And we even got dressed up for it. We went as video game characters. So we definitely want to share this bit of news. The people behind the New York Comic Con, Reed Pop, they have announced a special edition NYC. It's going to be a 2-day event in June, and it's going to be putting the focus back on comic books. So they're going to have all these indie comic book creators and big name ones as well, but it's not going to have, you know, video games or TV or movies or any of that popping in. It's going to be strictly comic books. So Ryan, as, you know, an avid comic book reader, someone who's been reading for years, what do you think about this approach to bringing it back to the books?
Well, of course, it's a fantastic approach. It's kind of, I think, something that has gotten the attention in the last few years, how it's kind of drifted from comic books to, as you said, video games, movies, like all more of that kind of culture. Now they're kind of taking a step back, kind of just bringing it back to its roots. You can't be nothing but happy for that. And that's exciting. I'm excited to see how they reapproach it. You know, it's something like we went to our first one in last October to the Big Apple, and that was the first thing I noticed. I said it was kind of, there wasn't a big comic element to it. Like, there was, like, the characters were there, but, like, I don't know. Like, I guess they're kind of meshing it all into one big culture, but it's not. There's video games, there's anime, there's, you know, comic books, and they kind of mash it all into one little thing, but I feel like it's been getting less and less comic-y, if that makes any sense. But I like this. I think it's awesome. I think it's truly what started Comic-Con in the first place, and it's it's good that it's coming back to its roots.
What about you, Luke?
Well, I mean, I think one of the big reasons why it's moving away from comics and towards everything else is because comic book industry is not very robust right now. It's kind of falling the same way that most print media is falling, which is falling away from profitability and away from big money towards, you know, and things shifting towards video games and movies and things like that. So while on one end, I'm really happy to see that, you know, they are creating almost like a separate Comic-Con for comics, I also think that it's not a good sign. And I think that, like you guys said, you're happy, but I don't think it's a good sign. I think the fact that they're creating a separate one means that when it doesn't do well in financial terms.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, tickets, VIP tickets sold out in a day.
Well, yeah. So, but that's,
well, I mean, time will tell.
Tickets aren't the issue, though, I don't think. I think in event sales and advertising dollars, I think are what's going to drive it. And so, like I said, I'm optimistic, and I hope that it'll last as its own event, even if it's a smaller event.
It is smaller. It's going to be like, we went in October. You remember Artist Alley? yes. where all of the comic book creators and writers and artists, they, you know, they have this whole like airplane hangar for people to come in and get their autograph signed. That's where Special Edition NYC. It's not going to be the whole Javits Center like the Comic-Con was. It's going to be just that airport hangar, which is still pretty big, and that's perfect for, you know, that crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, this is the kind of thing where you want comic book fans to come out and support. Because if they say, maybe next year, well, there might not be a next year. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's definitely the thing where if you like comics, if you're into that kind of thing, buy a ticket, go out, buy some comics, support the artists, show that there's still a huge interest, and keep your passion alive.
Yeah. Now, this event's going to be June 14th and the 15th of this year. Now, you know, if News Over Brews is going to be trying to go there, try to interview people, but if it doesn't happen, we're still going anyway. And what do you guys want to dress up as this year?
Well, my idea was that I would dress up as Dr. Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And you guys would dress up as Viet Cong soldiers worshiping me the entire convention.
Now, I'm against that, mainly because...
That's crazy. Why would you be against that?
Yeah. I will go... We should just do our original plan from last year and just go as Watchmen. Come on. I'd be a great Rorschach. Lucas, you already said you want to be Dr. Manhattan, just so you can paint yourself blue. I don't know.
Oh,
weird
I'm so the comedian.
And of course, Rye, you... You want to be the comedian?
No, I'm the comedian.
Jeffrey Dean DeMarco. All right. So remember, June 14th and 15th, if you live in the New York City area, go out to Special Edition NYC. Tickets are only $30. They're still on sale.
You have no excuse.
You have no excuse unless you have something to do that day. Then, of course, you have an excuse. But all right. Moving on to a topic that doesn't get enough attention, we're going to be talking about comics. Lucas, Ryan, and I, we're all fans of comic books. You know, they're responsible for... Let's get into some very exciting news for fans of the band Coldplay.
Oh, God.
So that means everyone but Lucas. Last night, during the Oscars, Coldplay announced the best news ever. They're going to come out with a new album, a follow-up to 2012's Milo Xyloto. The new album's going to be called Ghost Stories. Last week, they released a single called Midnight. We just thought it was going to be, you know, just a one-off thing like the single that they did on the Catching Fire soundtrack. But no, it actually will be on the new album. And they released another new song called Magic. So I thought, hey, let's just review both of them really quick. And, of course, talk about the new album, which is going to be coming out May 19th of this year. So hopefully a tour will follow. Now, the 9-track... CD. It's going to have the two songs that I just mentioned, Midnight and Magic. Ryan, you listen to them. You're a Coldplay fan. What's your take?
First of all, hang on one sec. Did you say 9?
Yeah, 9. Oh, no, that's not like them.
Disappointing.
That's not like them. But,
I mean, it was a surprise because I remember you told me and I was shocked. And I did realize, I was like, that's less than 2 years. I mean, maybe it's not. I guess it's quick because most bands I listen to, it takes 3 or 4 years for a new album to come out. But obviously it's Coldplay. No matter what they put out, I'll listen to it. We saw them in concert. It changed my perspective on them forever. They were gods. Now they're gods times two.
Yes.
Yes.
Double gods.
Double.
Of course.
Double trouble.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But
what did you think of the two singles?
All right. I listened to
Midnight.
It was weird. And we discussed that, too, because when Every Teardrop is a Waterfall came out for the last album, Milo Xyloto.
Shut up, Lucas.
Yeah. Shut your face.
Yeah.
When that came out, it was
different.
I liked it. It was different, though. It was hard to swallow at first. This one is also hard to swallow. It's weird. It's like, I mean, I'm not gonna take away points for them trying something different, but it worried me the first one. I was kind of hoping the whole album did not sound like that. And the second one, Magic, came out, and that kind of just, you know, kind of took that worry away. It sounds like they're back to maybe it was just a little experimental track.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Milo Xyloto, the whole album was very, you know, very synth heavy. And we heard that right off the bat with Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. Now, with the song Midnight, it sounded just like Bon Iver.
Yeah.
You know, j- Justin Vernon's band. Very auto-tuned voice. But, of course, you mentioned Magic. Sounds like classic Coldplay. This is going to be a very... what just from hearing those two songs is not... it's not Milo Xyloto is a very loud, very bright album.
Oh, yeah. It's very, like, very outspoken. Very outspoken. Yeah.
This one is going to be very soft and kind of brought back. Very, like, acoustic. So I'm hoping...
very, very reserved.
Reserved, yeah. And I'm hoping this is going to be a sign that maybe they'll do venues that aren't arenas, but I doubt it because I just want to see them in a smaller venue that, you know.
Hey, maybe we'll see them at Stone Pony.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. That'd be great, though, but it's never going to happen. Now, Lucas, as not a fan of Coldplay.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't really.
You heard
hear
the
this.
Two songs without just destroying them and tearing them apart like you really want to. Give me your honest musical opinion. What did you think of the first two songs from the new album?
Musically, I just thought they were kind of boring. Mm-hmm. And not like the kind of boring where, like, it's not Slayer, it's boring. Like, obviously, there are a lot of things that I like that aren't Slayer.
Name them.
No.
Slayer.
But no, it's, you know, they were just kind of boring. You know, at least some songs by, like, what's that band with the upright bass and the washboard and the banjo?
Mumford & Sons.
Yes, Mumford & Sons. A couple of their songs I think are catchy and, like, kind of enjoyable. Mm-hmm. There's that, what's his face with the hair? Bruno Mars.
Okay.
Some of his stuff is kind of catchy, but, like, it's just boring. It's, like, mid-tempo alternative hipster rock that I cannot get behind. And like you said, like, it's even auto-tuned. Like, you know, and obviously not all their songs are auto-tuned, but I've listened to a lot of Coldplay. I would use the word subjected to a lot of Coldplay before this. And even putting aside the fact that they ripped off one of Joe Satriani's songs pretty
Let
blatantly.
Let it go, man. Let it go.
If you don't know, listen to the song Viva La Vida and the Joe Satriani track If I Could Fly side by side. And let us know on the Facebook page if you think that Coldplay ripped off Joe Satriani's.
Let it
not just
go.
A Joe Satriani song, but essentially a love song to his wife as their wedding present.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know, right?
It was like in 2008. Let it go. Let it go.
So yeah, I mean, aside all that, I just, you know, musically, I'm like a blank slate. If you didn't tell me it was Coldplay, it's still kind of boring. I will listen to the album. I'll give you that. When it comes out, I'll listen to the album with you guys and let you know. Yeah, it's true.
Let me just backtrack for a minute. So I can't get my mind off this. So besides Slayer,
mm-hmm.
all you listen to is a couple tracks from Mumford & Sons and some Bruno Mars. That's it? That's your...
Well, no, I listen to...
That's your atmosphere.
No, I've been big into the 80s lately, actually.
Have you?
A lot of Night Ranger. A lot of Night Ranger. Uh-huh. Some Dokken, some Cinderella. But I've actually been getting back into a little bit of 80s thrash, which leads us, I think, into our next topic for...
yeah, if we're going to do some music news, Lucas, tell us about the magical day of April 1st.
Yeah, so for those of you who listen regularly, we have been talking quite a bit about April 1st. We already mentioned that Steel Panther, the band that is going to single-handedly resurrect the 1980s and smash this bullshit that people call music to the ground, they're coming out with their third album on April 1st. Many, many metal bands, metal acts, metal people in general are getting together for the Ronnie James Dio tribute album that is coming out on April 1st. And now, we've had another announcement. All things happen in threes, apparently, because on April 1st, the third Austrian Death Machine album, Triple Brutal, is coming out, which is amazing considering the lead singer for Austrian Death Machine, Tim Lambesis, who is also the singer for As He Lay Dying, another band that I really, really love, is having some legal trouble right now. He is accused of hiring someone to murder his wife. I'm fairly certain he just pleaded guilty, so that's not good. But
no more Death Machine.
Yeah, no. But the new Austrian Death Machine album was picked up by a record label, and it's coming out April 1st.
Did he record it in prison?
No, it was already recorded and put together. He just needed a record label to get the distribution cost down. Mm-hmm. So all the proceeds from that album are going to his charity, which helps to provide water. And
helps prevent wives from getting murdered.
That's terrible. It helps to provide water and resources for poor people in countries all over the world.
That's great.
So Austrian Death Machine, for those of you not familiar, is a band that writes thrash metal songs about Arnold Schwarzenegger and his movies. They've written songs like Who Told You You Could Eat My... Or no, Put That Cookie Down. See You With The Party, Richter.
Not A Tumor? It's Not A Tumor?
It's Not A Tumor is one of them. What was the one of the first...
Oh, Get To The Chopper.
Yeah, Get To The Chopper. That's one of my favorite ones. And they've done some covers and other things, and it's pretty cool stuff. And so it's like a full-on metal album. It's all about, like, the manliest metal. Like, it's not for the faint of heart. If you're a huge fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you'll like it. If you're a huge fan of As You Lay Dying, you'll love it. Mm-hmm. So April 1st...
If you just want to laugh.
That's true. If you just want to... Because they have little bits of like, conversation between Arnold and Tim in the album, and it's pretty cool. So April 1st is going to be a busy day. You have Steel Panther, you have Dio, and you have Austrian Death Machine. So you're going to be... You guys are going to be busy, I think.
Rocking at the metal.
Yeah, and the best thing is two of those three albums I recommend buying, because the Austrian Death Machine album and the Dio Tribute album, the proceeds go to charity. I mean, the Steel Panther album is going to go to the Steel Panther charity, which is basically money for booze, drugs, and hookers. But
so buy all three.
So buy all three albums, really. We won't see them on tour, unfortunately.
Let's get into some very exciting news for fans of the band Coldplay.
Oh, God.
So that means everyone but Lucas. Last night, during the Oscars, moving into our final topic of the podcast, we're going to be talking about the 86th annual Oscars. They aired last Sunday, and surprisingly, it was pretty good. Overall, it was a very enjoyable ceremony. We got to see all of the stars interact with a very, very funny host with Ellen DeGeneres. And we're going to do our new topic that we have been discussing. It's called Best Worst Surprise, where we each pick the best thing, the worst thing, and what surprised us about the event that we just watched, which, of course, is the Oscars. So I'm going to start with best. The best thing about the Oscars, I think, was the speeches. Now, usually you get those really, really terrible long speeches, or you get those speeches that they kind of say the same things, you know, I want to thank so-and-so, or I want to thank God, or they do a lame joke. It's, you know, that's usually what we get with Oscars. This time, we saw some really great speeches. Jared Leto had a very heartfelt speech. It was more of a story about his mom and how, you know, she raised him and his brother, and, you know, they wouldn't be anywhere without her. And it was very, very nice. And he even mentioned the Ukraine, which was a little political, but, you know, it was a nice touch. Matthew McConaughey also won. Very great speech as well, how he said that his hero is him in 10 years, and how every 10 years, you know, he hasn't reached his, you know, the level that he wants to be, so he's always chasing something. But not only that, he did mention, everyone's really stuck on that, but he also mentioned his father and his wife and kids are also, you know, who he does it for and who supports him. I mean, and he even finished with a little, all right, all right, all right. So, and I don't want to butcher her name, but the woman who was in 12 Years a Slave, who won, also had a very heartfelt speech. It was just the year of this speech. So, that was my favorite, best aspect. Rye, what was the worst thing about the Oscars this year?
Well, the worst thing I found was the theme for this one. It was heroes, and was it movie heroes? I don't even know.
Yeah, like they went into this like whole thing every so often, like a break between, you know, people coming up or Ellen doing her little, you know, sketches. They would have just like they would show all these movie heroes, and the weirdest thing about it was a lot of the films were just kept re-showing. Like, I remember when they were showing, like, the superheroes, and like, or whatever. They kept showing Man of Steel, like, 8 times. A movie that was never even completely nominated. So, like, yeah, it came out that year or whatever, but what was the whole, I don't understand, like, what was the theme?
It reminds me of, like, an elementary school classroom party, where it's like a Christmas party,
mm-hmm.
but, like, it's not really a Christmas party. Like, there's, like, maybe, like a cut-and-paste Christmas tree on the chalkboard, yeah. and it's like, oh, it's a Christmas party. See? There's the tree.
I think they ran through, like, they did, like, a rehearsal, and they're like, wow, this is going to end, like, a half hour early. We got to do some filler. How about you guys yeah. just cut and paste some video together? I don't know, Heroes or something, whatever.
I at first I was like, is the theme pizza? But, no, it was actually... it was lame. I mean, Ellen did a wonderful job. She definitely carried the whole show on her shoulders. And at times, I felt like they didn't have anything planned, and they just said, "All right, Ellen, just walk through the hall, walk through the rows, and just, you know,
scare Leo and Sandra
scare
Bullock.
Leo, just literally walk down the halls, tap people on the shoulder, hey, what's going on?" And then that kind of spawned into something. I feel like this year was not planned. Which was okay, because, you know, she's very quick, and she's very witty, and she can come up with material. She's like Bill Murray.
She is like Bill yeah. Murray. That was another great, I'm sorry, another great, not even a speech, when he, his little heartfelt thing to the late Harold Ramis, that was
his little
awesome.
Shout out,
that was
good.
A great shout out.
And he even apologized to the Academy, because I think they hate when you just
say
something that's off cue or yeah. something, but, you know,
not part of the script.
He's known for his spontaneity and his just...
overall Bill Murray-ness.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Now, Lucas, what surprised you about this year's Oscars?
Well, Al, I was surprised by the fact that I was literally not surprised by anything that happened.
Do tell.
So, Gravity won a bunch of stuff.
Seriously,
Gravity
looked like it was about to pull away with everything.
Did you see Gravity?
No.
Because I saw Gravity. You want to know what I thought of Gravity? It sucked.
But
it was the Avatar of this year. Avatar was all shiny and nice and, you know, groundbreaking on the visual side. But story, Avatar is just Pocahontas. In the same way that Gravity could have been called Motion Sickness the movie. Mm-hmm. The way that it was shot was just, and I get what they were going for, you know, being, you know, visually great movie.
And then it won all the technical awards.
Storytelling just atrocious.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you because I haven't seen the film yet. I do love the director. He did one of my favorite films. So give us some other not surprises, though.
It was not surprising that 12 Years a Slave won because, as we all know, Hollywood suffers from perennial white guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much if you make a movie about slavery or featuring slaves or having anything tangentially related to slavery, odds are you're going to win something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also not surprised that Leonardo DiCaprio didn't win anything again. But I have a theory.
And Martin Scorsese. Let's not forget
yeah,
that
Martin Scorsese didn't win either.
He and the Academy, I don't know, maybe they had like a fight or something, and like Leo like was mentioned, and they're like, all right, you know what, both of you, you're on my list. So,
well, there's the, you know, the Academy is not like totally based on scores. You know, there's like a circuit they have to go on. They have to go to these parties and talk to the voters and kind of schmooze up with them a little bit. And Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't care.
He doesn't.
But
he's still Leo.
One of the reasons he doesn't get recognition is, my theory at least, is that, you know, he's the kid in class that gets a 95 on every test.
Mm-hmm.
Every single test that comes along, he is just, he hits it right on the head. But on every test, there's always another kid that gets his first 100 ever. And so the teacher and all the kids, they come down and they say, wow, you got your first 100 ever. That's amazing. Good for you. You did such a great job. Here's a gold star. Where Leo DiCaprio sits in the back of the class looking at his 95 that he got yet again and not getting any recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And of course, the person who got the 100 this year,
Matthew McConaughey.
With the Dallas Buyers Club.
I think I have found a solution for this.
Okay.
I believe that Leonardo DiCaprio should star in a movie directed by Martin Scorsese where Leonardo DiCaprio plays Harriet Tubman. And the movie is about Harriet Tubman, who, as we all know, is the leader of the Underground Railroad, helps slaves to move from the South to the North.
Mm-hmm.
Except every single slave is also played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, so they use they bring in the same people who did Gravity, mm-hmm. so they get the technical award as well.
Right. They, what they'll do is they'll shoot the whole movie point of view style.
Perfect.
They'll get all the technical awards, mm-hmm. And every single person in the movie will be played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
And they will all get nominated.
And none of them will win.
And none of them.
There will be no winner that year.
So there's nothing that's going to help him win.
No.
He's just going to keep being a great actor.
All joking aside, I was literally surprised by nothing. Everything. I mean, you know, I was getting the updates, you know, and everything. I'm like, oh, I knew that was coming. Oh, I knew that was coming. I knew that was going to happen. There was no upset this year.
No. And it's really sad, too. Because there were some great films this year. But these award shows, you know, they really don't matter. You know, they're just for our entertainment. You know, sometimes they do help the film reach a broader audience, but I mean, all of these films are mentioned on the biggest stage on the biggest night. So, like I said, it really doesn't matter. It's just for entertainment. So, that is going to do it for another excellent, phenomenal installment of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco.
And I'm Lucas Jones.
Thanks for listening.